Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
My own son told me then, don't teach me, be my dad. And so now I'm there and sitting in dinks. And the same is like when I coach younger kids or people, I say, let me be the guy who puts your kid through the up and downs. You be mom and dad at home. Yeah. Don't talk about the game. Don't do anything. Because that's what they need, you know?
Well, there you go, parents. If Jermaine Jones...
That's what I was getting at.
If Jermaine Jones can just sit back and watch his kids play soccer, I think you can do the same. Yeah. Just enjoy it. Just enjoy it. Welcome back to another episode of the Footy Pod. We're here at the 2024 United Soccer Coaches Convention in Anaheim. Our next guest, the greatest German to ever represent the U.S., Jermaine Jones. Thank you for being here, man.
No, thank you. Thank you for having
me. Yeah.
Thank you.
Appreciate you.
Appreciate it. I'm the greatest. I'm the greatest German.
Definitely.
Well, who is that? Who else is there?
Nobody.
I guess the only other one you could put in the argument would be like Jonathan Brooks. But I wouldn't put him up there ahead of you.
No, nah, man.
Don't worry. I wouldn't. No one would.
You know, you got the greatest... I was the one who started everything.
You were.
Yes.
You were.
Yes.
You were.
And you have to look at what you did outside of the national team too. The experience that you had at club-wise.
Yeah.
I was one of the first Americans who played Champions League.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very true.
Yeah. So now we're talking about it when the Westons, the Pulisic and everybody's playing it. But I was one of the ones who played it. When you look at my generation, most of them all be called like they're all in the Hall of Fame, right?
Mm-hmm.
Most of them. But if you look at the age wise, like the Tim Howard, the Clint Dempsey, in you know, the DeMarcus Beasley, when they were 18, they all played back in the US.
Mm-hmm.
I was 18, I played already in the Bundesliga.
Yep.
Right? So it's a big number.
Talk to us about like how that process came about of switching to the US.
You know, the real story behind it was that I played the U20 World Cup with Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, back in the days, there was the rules. You were not able to switch anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I tried it, but they always told me, like, you're not be able. You have to stay and play for the German team. So I said, okay. Then I went to the 2006 almost World Cup with Germany. When Jürgen Klinsmann was the coach. Then I went to the Euros. I was in the 25 before they cut the roster for Germany when they lost against Spain. I was at their team in... And I always, like, because I grew up without a dad. So I always tried to figure out, okay, I wanted to find this other part of my life, you know, my connection where it is. But it was tough for me because I grew up in Germany and my dad left when I was 7. And then as older I got, I figured and said, I asked my agent, I said, there's maybe a possibility to play for the national team. And then if I would play there, my dad would pick it up or somebody would tell, hey, there's a kid from Germany, Jones, blah, blah. And so we reached out in 2010. And that changed in the Bahamas a rule because of the all the smaller countries were voting against the bigger ones that, you know, they want to have access to players who did not get picked up from bigger countries and they have the chance to play for them to come. So they changed the rule. My agent called me straight away and said, hey, we have the possibility if you want to switch, have a conversation with Michael because Michael was playing at the time in Gladbach and I was in Schalke and that's just like a 40 minutes drive. So he's like, oh, my dad is in town. So me and Bob went for having lunch and Bob said, look, we heard about the news. We can maybe make it possible. We know you have no passport, nothing, but let's work on it. So we started working on it. And, you know, and then I believe I was the first player worldwide who switched countries.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
So what is the rule technically? You can have a certain number of appearances at senior level and still switch, right?
You can only have friendlies.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
The moment you play an international game, and back in the days was even if you played internationals with the youth, you would not be able.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So in 2010, they switched that. And I had only friendlies because in 2009, I was out. But then in 2006, I broke my shin before the World Cup. Mm-hmm. So, and then I was out for that. So I never played an international real game for Germany, only friendlies.
Yeah.
And so lucky that I wasn't able then to move.
Which is weird because looking back on like something that was probably so devastating is like breaking your shin might have been like a blessing in disguise for everything.
You know what is crazy is like for me, it's like a lot of things like what I said before, I hated after retiring. I don't wanted to do anything. I wanted to maybe be an agent and stuff like that. And what you said is like then you go to your career and you look like, you know, like the up and downs. And I'm thinking, man, like why I had to go do this, why I had to miss the 2010 World Cup, the 2008, I got cut off and everything. But now when going into coaching, I take that all as, you know, learning steps. And I use it for my own possibilities now to teach other guys, you know, because they will go to faces and I've been maybe to the faces and I can adapt to it and control them and help them, you know?
Yeah, your story shapes you as a person and even more so as a professional in whatever you do, but definitely as a coach, you know, because there's so much personality that you have to give to that role. So going back to that, you know, you just recently were hired as the Fuego FC head coach in the USL. Congratulations on your new role.
Thank you.
Tell us about your transition from playing into coaching and what you're hoping to accomplish this season.
Yeah, so, you know, what I said, I retired. Stepped away a little bit, and then slow by slow, you know, U.S. Soccer reached out, told me to go and do my license. So I started with my B license, U.S. Soccer B license. Struggled.
Why?
It was just not like, I don't felt like it's my passion, you know?
In terms of sitting in the classroom.
Yes. And like doing like...
You want to be on the pitch.
Yeah, and then building a club and like all that stuff and like... I used my laptop back in the day to watch movies, not to PowerPoints and all that stuff. Yeah. You know? So and I really struggled being there, and I was like, man, I don't think that's my world. Like, I'm good. And then I finished my B license, and then somebody came up to me and said, hey, there's a possibility to go on a pro license in Europe, and they do the B and A in like only for professional guys.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I was like, okay, let me check it out. So I called the guy. His name is Nigel Best. He's from Northern Ireland, from Belfast. So I called him, and he's like, we know, we completely packed. And I was like, okay. And so I talked with another friend. And he's like, yeah, we packed. Because it's like, they only have, I think every country has almost like maybe 15 people, 20 people, and that's max.
So but they want player people like you in their courses.
But everybody else is like me. There you have the Cavallo, you have like people like, they played high too, you know? And they were just packed. And I was like, okay, it's just meant to be, you know, I should not coach. And I let it go.
And how long ago was this?
Almost three and a half years now.
And you've been retired for how long?
I retired, 4 years.
Okay.
Years, something like that.
Okay.
Four and a half, yeah. And for me, it was like the point was really like, I stepped on away and I was good. I was like, I would do something else. Like, you know, started a couple of businesses and do some other stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I get an email from Nigel and he's like, you know, I have a feeling I can feel you want to do this. I will take you in as an extra. I never did this before, but I would do it. And I was like, okay, what does that mean? He's like, in a week, you have to be in Belfast. We're starting. I was like, oh, damn. Like, myself.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's go.
Went over. And then, you know what it was? Like, I'll be honest. It was living in LA, you can be quick away from the game because you have to wake up at 6 in the morning to watch the game. There's not a lot going on. But then being over there.
You're in it all the time.
And you've been in it like all the time. And now you're talking about the game like every day with the guys you played against. Yeah. And like, and I, you know what was for me the biggest, what I liked the most? It was not the training session. It was the mental part of the coaching, you know, to understand
like the
player, like, and get the player to do everything for you without even touching the field, you know,
all
that stuff. Because I believe that was where coaches felt me, some of my coaches. You know, I had some of the best coaches, but they felt me because they were not getting the best out of me. But I had coaches that were not the best on the field, but they knew how to handle me, and they were getting out everything where I was like, you know, even looking back now, and I say, this coach was never the best, but he actually was the best for my career.
Who was the best coach for your career?
For me, it was a guy named Friedhelm Funkel. He's not a... huge coach. He's like, he coached in Bundesliga more teams to save them from like going down and all that stuff. Yeah. But man, this guy, when I was like 22 and I was in Bayer Leverkusen, I played against Totti, Real Madrid and everything, Champions League. And I start flying. I felt like I'm the man, you know? But I compete at the time with Dimitar Berbatov, who was the number 9.
Legend.
So in we all know his way. Well, he went go off, you know, but so it went tough for me to get more games and play. So I got frustrated. So I went out with my friends. I had my entourage with me, you know, we were going party and all that stuff. And then at one point, the head coach of the team said, "You, I caught you, you out." Mm-hmm. And then from one day to the next, I was like, damn it. Like, how is this going on? Like, what do you know? And then this guy came in and he saved kind of my career. You know, he came and he said, "Look, I bring you back from the town where you come from and I will help you. But I let you do whatever you have to do. If you want to go out, go out.
I just expect a level of performance from you."
Really?
Yeah, but
just be ready to go.
Be ready. Yeah. And I was like, never heard that.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So I've mentioned it on the podcast a few times. I did the UEFA B license in Germany this past summer. Never been to Germany before, except for when I was very young. Mm-hmm. Amazing experience. And that's one thing that I got from them as well. You mentioned earlier, just the time on the pitch. It was always on the pitch. We were always in the fire and under pressure. The other thing too was we didn't have too many days off, but you know, the instructors were just like, "Hey, do what you want to do, but you know what you're here for. So make sure you're ready to go."
Yeah.
And you know, going back to the US course as well, the content and the culture too, it's just so different. So you ended up going through that pathway completely. So you got your UEFA Pro license now. Yeah. How long did that whole process end up taking?
3 years. Yeah. 3 years. But you know, looking back now, I had even when I did my B and A and was not even finished, I had the chance to coach in championship USL, you know, but I don't felt ready. And that's what I always tell people. I say, look, even if you played high, it's a different, because what I said before, it's not just about like learning all this stuff, you know, it's just like really understanding and it's like player management and like all that stuff. You go to the course and that's why you should go through it, because you learn so much different stuff, what you don't know. You know, I give an example. We had some guys that were top players, Champions League winners. And then you put them in front of the group and they have to talk in front. And then you can see their personality.
Yeah, they just freeze, not as confident.
Like, they don't want to do that, you know? But then you put them on the field and they're like, "Oh, yeah, blah, blah," you know? And like, and you're like, whoa, like it's a complete different guy. But I believe I was lucky, and I hope that that a lot of people who do their license, that do their license before stepping on the field to coach. Yeah.
We just had, right before you, Dan Abrahams, sports psychologist, and he talked about, you know, putting your coaching head on, right? And then as a player, finding your game face are the, you know, terms that he uses, right? And it's so interesting because it is a completely different role and character that you have to play. And a lot of times it is hard for players to make that transition and become a good coach, even if they were a top player, you know? So, you know, it's interesting to hear it from your perspective as well. What are some of the things that you're doing right now to start preparing and kind of get yourself in that zone of being a head coach coming from being a player?
Yeah, we were sitting down. I was sitting down and then I created first, I looked at the team in the style of play I want to play. If it fits, if it's not fit, then I built my group of guys, my stuff, you know, and then now we actually have now, you know, almost ready to go. We had like, till I came here, we had to get another 2 goalkeepers, but we have them now.
Nice.
And I'm looking right now for a goalkeeper coach, you know, but everything else it's ready to go. So, you the process is easy.
You look at the roster,
you look at the guys you need, so the style of play you want to play. And then you look at, you know, like, okay, who's the coaches who you need to help with? And now we're doing more stuff around the club. So it's like where we play the preseason games, what we're doing on, you know, what ideas we have to, what we want to film, who's the, you know, the video analytic guy and like all that stuff. So it's just putting everything together the way I believe it has to be, you know, in what I need. And, I'm trying to, you know, it's a League One club. It's a young club, you know, they had not the access they wanted in the last years. So they give me a lot of freedom to bring everything in what I believe has to be in. And so far it works out. It's really fun.
Yeah. Do you have an assistant coach already sorted?
Yeah, yeah. We have assistant coaches. We have two assistant coaches. We have...
Are they people that, like, you brought in, or were they already kind of...
Okay. Everybody I brought in. Okay. We had one guy. He was there. A younger guy. He is from Fresno. Mm. He I had a meeting with him, and I said to him, like, I want to keep you here because you know the community. Yeah. You know the people.
Yeah.
But I would bring somebody else in. If you're open to learn and to things, like, I have no problem. I would like, fire him or something. Yeah. So he stayed, and then everybody else, I changed.
So the ones that you changed and brought in were those people that you used to play with, people that you met through coaching?
Yeah, so one of the guys I met at the B-license course, he was been since years and a friend, so I brought him in as my main assistant. Then I have brought in, you know, like a video guy I met in, and now I bring other guys in and working on slowly. Like, I want to bring a goalkeeper coach in, a younger one who has the desire to learn and has ideas and stuff like that. So in the team, I think only three players stayed and they were under contract. Everybody else I send away.
Really?
Yeah, and got new ones.
Wow.
I'm strong believer of, like, if a team has already got another coach fired, why should I trust him?
That's true.
A very good point. For players coming up, you know, what can they learn from your experience in terms of maximizing their potential and becoming the best player they can be, whether that is getting to the top or college, high school, whatever it may be?
You know, always stay open to learn, you know, and that's, I always try to tell, like, even the guys we have the youngest one he's 15, you know, and people told me, like, why are you bringing a 15? And I said, like, I believe he has it. Like, everybody I bring in, I take the responsibility to help them to go to the next level. I have laid out the structure where I said, like, I wanted to meet with every player directly. I have 10 questions, personal questions I ask them, and to understand who they are a little bit and where they want to go. It's easy ones, like, you grow up with both parents in the house, like, you're the oldest sibling or not, like, something, stuff like, and it tells you a lot already, you know. If somebody comes to me and says he's the youngest with his siblings, or he's the oldest, or he has a mom only, or he has both parents, or only a dad, like, you can read the room a little bit, you know, But I said it strongly. I said, what I want to do is, like, I want to be an upgrade for the kids or for my players. And I told them, look, I will be there to help you, but I will not. I don't want to be a coach to tell you what to do, but I want to help you, guide you in wherever you have to go. And that's why I have to understand who they are, you know?
Absolutely.
And, but I think, I love it with, you know, having a mixed group, you know, and it will be a lot of fun. Definitely.
I'm sure you're excited to step into this new challenge, new phase of your life. And it's just the beginning. So I'm sure that you will learn a lot through your first year, especially, and you'll look back in a few years, just like you did as a player, and you'll see that you're completely different. What do you think are some things that you might notice in yourself that you would like to, I guess, improve as a coach over the years?
You know what? I'm observing everywhere. The same I said to the players.
Just taking something from everything.
I take from everybody. Even here, when I talk with, like, you know, people will say, like, they're lower coaches and, like, young, they're coaching young. For me, I don't care. Conversations, understanding, see what they do, even looking at stuff. Everybody has different ideas, you know. There's different levels of it where we coach, but still we are all coaching the same game. You know, and I believe, like, you can adapt from every coach. And so that's what I'm doing too. That's my first state, like, real job now as a head coach. I was with the 19s, where I had luck to work with Marco, you know, Mitkovic, who was with Pano in Chicago Fire as in Reading. Without him, I competed actually against him to get the 19s job as the head coach. And later on, I was so happy that I was his assistant, because this guy was just, like, showing me stuff where I was like, damn, like, I would never find out that you know? And that's what I'm saying. Like, now I'm in a way, like, in a position where I'm like, I can do all that stuff. Like, I'm sitting down, I can cut games, I can do all of it, you know, and that's just because I'm hungry to learn, you know. But as too, it's like what I said before, I hated it when I retired. And now I love it so much that I just want to be in there the whole time and talk with people about it, you know, and because now I'm not interested in playing anymore. If you tell me you want to play again, I'm like, nah. I'm out.
So
like,
you wouldn't hop out there with them right now?
session? I play 6 against 6 in Fresno. But if you would tell me, like, you want to go again that same road, the professional.
Yeah, yeah.
Nah, man.
I
stay with the coaching.
So you mentioned that you have 5 kids. How old's the oldest one? He's with you here, right?
Yeah, someone? He's right there.
Oh, nice. Cool.
Yeah,
okay,
he's 22.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, 22, 20, uh-huh. Then twins 14, and then the youngest is 10.
And then are the younger ones playing and everything?
Yeah, yeah. The, one of them plays 100%. He's like completely committed. One of them is like he's in and out because he likes surfing too.
Yeah.
And nice. Then, yeah, and, yeah. That's cool.
And then my daughter, she does the youngest one. She plays and she dances. He works in tech. He's right now he's starting working for me on the data side.
Nice.
To do data analytics with the players and all that stuff.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
And he's learning coding and stuff like that. So
kind of what I was getting at with the question was more so obviously dealing in youth soccer, we do a lot with the parents on the sidelines and stuff like that. What are you like on the sidelines whenever you're watching the kiddos play?
You know,
you like Messi and Suarez, feet back, chilling.
Hanging out.
You know,
chilling.
It was like the funny part, like when you mentioned that, there was a point where I had in Calabasas, when I was living in LA, I had a house and I built like a turf field, half field outside, like I had a horse property and I used it for myself when I played.
Yeah.
To make my preseason and everything there, you know? So now you have that in front of your house. You will push your kids the whole time. I'm like, go out there, man. Yeah. Let's do this. Like, you have the talent. Because I always say, like, I get paid to tell people their kids have talent.
Yeah.
Yep.
And now I'm telling my own son, hey, you have talent. He's like, don't get on my nerves.
It doesn't mean the same. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, don't get on my nerves.
Yeah.
And then I'm sitting at the games and I'm like, maybe shoot earlier. Maybe do this. And he's like, oh.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
At one point, his mom, my ex-wife, she comes and she's like, hey, I enrolled him for baseball. And I was like,
what?
I was like, what? And then we went to a game and he's just not built for baseball. You know? He's tall, but he's not built for baseball. And he's standing there with the bat and like, and I'm standing behind the cage, like, you know, and I'm like, and I'm the only thing I always hear is like elbow high, you know, elbow high.
Yeah, yeah.
So I tell him like, take your elbow up. And there's a bunch of people, benches. He turns around, he goes, Dad, can you just be quiet? You have no idea what you're talking
about.
You play soccer, not football.
Really?
And I was like, he's right.
No, he's got a point.
And then later on, like, he get older, and then he told me, he says, and that's what I say, like, you learn every day, right?
Yeah.
My own son told me then, don't teach me. Be my dad. And so now I'm there, I'm sitting in dinks, and the same is like when I coach younger kids or people, I say, let me be the guy who puts your kid through the up and downs. You be mom and dad at home.
Yeah.
Don't talk about the game. Don't do anything. Because that's what they need, you know?
Well, there you go, parents. If Jermaine Jones...
That's what I was getting at.
If Jermaine Jones can just sit back and watch his kids play soccer, I think you can do the same.
Yeah.
Just enjoy it. Just enjoy it.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's see. Let's talk more about your career. I want to ask you just some questions. You know, you can think of some quick fire ones as we go to. Feel free to jump in whenever. Who's the best player you ever played with?
Wow. Man, it's a tough one. It's a tough one. What I said before, I had guys, like I had Berbatov, I had Mesut Özil, I had Manuel Neuer, I had Rakitic.
Yeah.
I had Raul.
That was at Schalke you played with Özil.
Yeah. I had Huntela.
Yeah.
You know, I had a bunch of really good guys, like good players. Like, so it's tough to say like one because, yeah.
All right, pick a starting five then. A futsal five. Top players you played with.
Manuel Neuer in goal. Then Joel Matip, defense.
Oh, yeah.
Two solid picks already.
Then I go midfield, Özil.
Yeah, got to.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry Bahamas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Rakitic.
Oh.
And myself.
There you go. Squad, man.
That's a squad and a half.
That's going to beat a lot of fives in the world, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Favorite goal you've ever scored?
The Portugal.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, I still know exactly where I was. I was telling him yesterday, we ran into you. I remember I was at my friend's house, and we were all just kind of watching the game and everything. The second you're going in, he just, like, jumps up, elbows one of our poor friends, broke her nose, like, and not everyone's like,
and just pure joy and celebration.
Yeah, because, like, the mom and, like, the dad are like, are you okay? And all the guys are just oblivious, like, just jumping up and down celebrating. I was like, man.
But I tell you why, like, you know what I said before? I missed the 2006 World Cup. I missed the Euros. And then I missed the 2010 World Cup in South Africa. In all due injuries, right? And then when the 2014 World Cup came, I played at the time, I was on loan in Besiktas. Half into season in Besiktas, I started getting a hernia. So I went to the doctors and the doctor told me, like, you have a double hernia. You need surgery. You can play with the pain, but we have to see. As long as it's not popping, you're good to go. So I knew then in summer the World Cup would come. And I was like, man, that nobody would take that from me. Because I knew it's in Brazil. I know things. So I took, like, painkillers and everything to stay on the board, you know. And then when we were going out there, in doing the training and everything, I was like, man, I missed two of them, you know. And, like, and then all my kids were there and everybody was there. And then scoring this goal where, you know, like, man, that's not just history. That's just something will be remembered. Like, you will be remembered for this sport in the country, you know. Yeah. And then you come back or you go to the hotel and your phone blows up, you know, and blows up and people, like, you look at YouTube, like the reaction on it, you know, it's like, you're like, wow, that was a bigger impact, you know? And then especially when I came back, everybody's like, man, you go. Like, that's the first thing. Everybody's like, man, you go.
It's one of my favorite goals. I'm not gonna lie, man. It's unreal.
Yeah,
I can picture it right now. It's unreal.
What a moment. That's what football is about, too, 100%. You know? It's those moments you remember forever.
Yeah.
So how many managers did you have for the U.S. national team? It was Klinsmann.
I started with Bob Bradley.
Mm-hmm. Bob Bradley, okay.
Then Klinsmann.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Bruce.
Okay.
That's it.
Nice. Who's your favorite?
Klinsmann. A lot of times, like, people don't give him the credit.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's even, you see his work he did, you see it still today.
Yeah.
You know? And, honestly. And that's just like... you know, I think he's a person, he's strict. He tells you how he feels about stuff, but he does that with everybody. You know, and some people, I always said that, it's like, if you're not used to it, it can feel like, oh, you think like, oh, the German guy is always mean, you know? But that's just a culture how we grew up having it.
More direct.
And like, and there's no excuses in the game, you know? And he did that, and people will always say, oh, he's not like that to the German-Americans. But he was, like, when I was not playing in Schalke,
take it a little bit more.
Yeah, he would be like, if you not keep playing, like, you're not playing with us. I'm not bringing you in, you know? So, because that's just how it is. And I still today have a really good relationship with him. And you can call him, and he will be always there if you need him, you know? Mm-hmm. But he's somebody, too. He will not tell you just something just to make you happy if he don't believe in that's the right thing to do, you know?
Seems like that's exactly what we still need right now. And that's what's kind of missing in the national team.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, when I look at the basics and everything, and I like Craig, you know, don't get that twisted. I like Craig as a person and everything. But when I look at it, Jürgen was criticized for so many things. And if you look at the basics now, it's all what he did.
Yeah.
Like the coaches we have now, how many coaches, what coaches they have, and the setups. He said everybody has to play in Europe. It was criticized.
Yeah.
Now everyone's in Europe. Now we actually want everybody to go to Europe.
Right.
You know?
How do you see them doing in the World Cup next, what is it, 2 years from now?
Yeah, 2026. Yeah.
My years are all off with the Winter World Cup.
You're going to have to come down to Dallas for the final probably.
Yeah.
You know, it's a young group, so you never know with the young group.
Yeah.
Right? You know, at the end, it's just like I think they have to have, till the World Cup starts, they all have to play in the teams.
Yeah.
You know, I think that would be important, especially for younger players. And then... you never know because young players, they give you a surprise and that's the beauty on young players. Like, sometimes you have to let them go, you know, and then you get surprised at what they can show you. But I always say that, like, working with the U.S. and now working in the youth system, there's so much talent. This country has talent. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I say that that's what we've seen with the first team. Just a small piece. If you calculate that down and look at the age groups, there's so much talent coming, you know, and it's just like now we have to figure out, okay, what we want to get out as a pitcher, as a country, you know, on the style of play, what is the philosophy behind it and everything. So, and if we have all that now, we're settled with Craig. He's in place for that. I think you can be good. And especially, I think coming to here, to this country now, playing the World Cup here, what happened will be like an atmosphere, like people will be excited and you know, with people behind you, you never know what happened, you know?
True. Sure. What's your favorite Champions League memory?
My favorite Champions League memory? My favorite one, I would say, was played in Barcelona.
New Camp.
Yep.
That was a good one.
What year was that?
No, I have to turn it around.
Okay. You can have two.
The first one was like, I just had my first Champions League game. And I played in Bayer Leverkusen. And I was not playing. I was sitting on the bench. But we played against the Galactic, like Real Madrid. Ronaldo, Zidane, Beckham. Yep.
Oh, man.
And I was watching when I was sitting out there and I warm up. And I watched them warming up. That was
actually like watching like a concert. Like just rock stars right in front of you.
No, it's like for me, it was like...
Like I made it?
No. It was like more, I was like, I was standing there and I was like, man, they're like... tall guys like Zidane.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, and I give you one thing was like, we won the game, you know, but there was halftime and somehow they don't play good. And you know, there was Figo, there was Guti, there was Raul, and like all those like big names. And halftime comes and Zidane walks kind of to the tunnel. Then he stops and he whistles like, and he's like huge, like, and he whistles. And all the players come around him, like, and you
just
was able
instantly.
To see, like,
yeah.
Even he's quiet, like, what a power he has, you know? And then when that later happened, like, in 2006 and everything with the headbutt and everything, you know, I was like, only him can do that.
Yeah.
If you do that,
and get away
if you
with
go
it.
Back to yeah. friends, man, you can never come back.
Right.
Again.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But
he really wasn't criticized for that too much,
not at all.
Was he?
Because he's like, when you see his, like, presence and everything, it's like, he walks in front of you like, damn,
yeah,
this
yeah.
guy's
just
like,
a monster.
And even how he plays, like elegant, you know? Like,
how tall are you?
I'm 6'1".
Okay.
He's way bigger
like
than
me. Like 6'4", 6'5"?
Yeah, easy.
That's so big, man.
Easy. Yeah. And you want to think about it, you know? On TV, you think like, But then he's in front, you're like, wow, like, he's tall. Like, and like, he has an aura, like, you know, when he walks and everything. And like, and I'm you're looking and there's like Beckham, there's Carlos, there's like...
He's the main Galactico of the Galacticos. Yeah, that's crazy to think about. What's the feeling like just standing in that stadium and hearing the Champions League anthem come over the speakers, like full stadium? Just can't imagine standing on the pitch and looking up and seeing that and feeling that. Like, what's that feeling like, especially the first one?
You know, it is because you're used to going to big stadiums and everything and you zone into it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there's maybe the trouble when you go there, but then the moment for me was always I put my headphones or something and then I start going
in
and I don't care what's happening outside. But it's like Champions League were always different because you come out and you stand again. Mm-hmm. Like normally you go in the tunnel and then you walk out and there's zoning, you know, like there's no music. You just go out and then you start. But there's like you coming out and now you're standing again. And now comes the champion. And you know that from every country, only three teams play. So even the professional players you play against watching the game.
Right.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So, you know, and then the higher you go, everybody's watching the games, you know, so. And you know, like, okay, that's the stage. If I perform, I make my name, you know, because even other guys, players will be like, oh, yeah, he's good. Like, you know, it's not just because, like, Bundesliga or, like, it's the best of the best, you know?
So that for you is where you felt like you had reached the pinnacle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I always wanted to...
The World Cup.
The World Cup was always, like, you know, Champions League was the cake.
Yeah.
And then World Cup is the whipped cream, you know?
So
and for me, it was always the World Cup, the Champions League is every year.
Right.
You know, and so, and you play against the people, like some countries, they don't, you know, some of the players never play against Cristiano, Messi and everything. But if you play Champions League, you normally catch up with them every year. So, and that's like if, as a player, for me, was always, I want to battle with the best because, yes, he can put me on YouTube. But I can change it too and make a name for myself if I play good against him, because everybody's like, oh, he did good against him. You know?
Absolutely.
So that's what's more how I saw it, you know?
That's what every player dreams of, is that opportunity to show themselves against the best, you know?
You should. You never should be afraid that, oh, what happens if you do this against me or this? Like, if that's the case that you feel that way, then you're on the wrong sport.
You want to put yourself in those pressure situations. You want to seek out those opportunities to feel uncomfortable, to feel challenged in that way.
You have to visualize, you know, you have to visualize and you have to believe in it. Because the first one you have to believe is like yourself have to believe in yourself that you can do it. You know, like for me, it's like I tell people now, I visualize everything, you know, I'm not talking it out. I go on the dog with on the walk with my dog, and I before I do a meeting or something, I run the meeting. I talk, you know, kind of with myself or to my dog, you know. But you have the visualized stuff, and you should not be scared to be like, oh, I want to play Champions League one day, even if you play college somewhere or whatever. Like, that's just, you have to have that. Set the bar high, and that's the pressure you give for yourself, you know?
Absolutely. Evan, anything else?
No, nothing else. It's just so dope that you once again came and sat with us, man. Oh, it's really appreciated.
Really appreciate your time. You got full 30 minutes from this. Great chat. Good getting to know you. And yeah, good luck to you in your season. And looking forward to following your path. And nice shirt, by the way.
Man, fits good, huh?
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, it's yours now.
No, I thank you guys. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
It's good to, you know, that you guys doing stuff like that and, you know, keep going. Whenever you guys need me, I'm always around.